How are we all doing, folks? It is Friday. You are watching live from the studio. I'm your host, Jimmy Selesky. And we know Friday episodes are for the boys, for the homies. We got pretty serious this week. I spent an irredeemable amount of time on the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday shows. Tuesday, I actually spent the most time. If you recall, that was where we kind of took a deep dive into the vaccine, the statistic with the 23% higher death rate among the vaccinated group during the Pfizer clinical trials. We delved pretty far into like math on that one. That one took a while. But the Monday and Wednesday show appear to be picking up. People are digging it. And for the first time, like ever on our videos, the vast majority of the comments are positive. This is weird. I almost don't like it. Why are you guys being so nice? It feels weird when people are actually commenting on the videos and like the ratio is like 85 to 90% likes. And everybody's like, great work. Like, what? Screw you, pal. Great work. I see right through that, being sarcastic. It just, I don't know. Something about it is like, I mean, obviously I like it, but seriously. But as I said, Friday episodes, you know, are always for the boys. I actually missed yesterday's episode, unfortunately. That was my bad. That was actually my bad. Not for a lack of trying. I recorded an entire episode, but I have no idea what I was talking about. Like, randomly at like 1 p.m. yesterday, I was inspired to like do this whole thing on like the nature of good and evil. And so I just set out with like some very loose notes. I was like, does evil know it's evil? Pride is the original sin. Then I talked about this kid, Nick Browning, who grew up in the same town as me pretty much in the Baltimore suburbs, who's the same age as me as well. And he killed his whole family when he was in high school. He was 15 years old, shot his father, mother, and two younger brothers in the head while they were asleep. And just like a bunch of other stuff having to do with like evil and good. And then I got like halfway through the episode, and this actually happens a lot with me, where I just bite off more than I can chew. And I realize halfway through that I have no idea what I'm saying. I have no idea of like how to tie it back together. I just go down a bunch of different rabbit holes, kind of like I'm doing right now. And, yeah, no amount of editing in the world could make that episode make sense. Yet, I still have it, and it's still in the bank, and it's not as bad as I'm making it seem. It just kind of like doesn't lead anywhere. It's just like a bunch of ideas with no clear conclusion at all. But anyway, today, I just got back from my gig, and I want to just, you know, do what we normally do on Fridays. I'm in the middle of the fast. This is like real good Friday, by the way. I haven't talked about fasting for a while. Way back when, the day after St. Patrick's Day was March 18th. And I began my 47-day fast for Orthodox Easter, Greek Easter, Lent, whatever. And I honestly, after like the first week, the first couple days, if you recall, Monday morning to Wednesday night at sundown, I don't eat anything for the first 3 days, basically, like 2.5 days of nothing to start the fast. And then for the remainder, I go vegan, you know, no meat, no dairy, animal products, whatever. I'm not one of the vegans that's like, oh, no honey, even though I haven't eaten any honey. Just know that I would. I don't, oh, honey is an animal product. Or like some people even get like with that, like yeast. Yeast? You think I'm worried about a microscopic like amoeba, whatever the hell yeast is? Is yeast an animal or a plant? I don't even know what yeast is. But at that point, then you might as well not eat like an apple either. You know, everything you're eating is alive on some level, but we got to draw a line. And I think the line comes well before yeast. So, but I'm like normal vegan for 47 days. And then I always, much like I start out Lent with 2.5 days of no eating, I close out Lent with 2 full days of no eating. So from Thursday night, or basically like Friday morning at sunup until Saturday at like 2 in the morning, when we finally are able to break our fast, I don't eat anything Friday or Saturday. Now here's the problem. I totally forgot that I was doing that. And so yesterday, while I was working meticulously to no avail to try to make some type of sense of my stupid good versus evil episode, I forgot to eat, just inadvertently. I wasn't not eating on purpose. I just didn't eat. Like, I got up, I was doing some stuff, worked on the episode, tried to edit it quickly, couldn't get it done in time, had to cruise down to Fells Point for my gig at Ampersea, and then wound up kind of going out in Fells afterwards because my brother was there and his girlfriend's work party was there. So we went out afterwards. I wound up staying out until like 2 in the morning. I got to work on that. I need to learn how to like go to a bar and not close it down. But yes, I just didn't eat. And then I woke up this morning. I was like, oh shit, now I have to start my 2 full days of no eating. And I already did 1 day of no eating. So actually it's going to be 3 days. And I'm really feeling it right now. Because not only am I hungover, but I'm hungry. It's not a good combination. But whatever, dude. Who cares? It's Friday, baby. So let's kind of dive into some videos of the week. Some stuff that has caught my attention. And where else to start? You know what? I don't even want to show this video. I want to talk about this video. I don't want to show it. I don't know. I don't enjoy watching it. It's just like unnecessarily brutal, kind of. But to describe it, it's nothing wrong with it. It's quote unquote nature, you know, but it's a lioness just kind of like has like a baby, what appears to be like a baby pig in her paws, like a very small baby pig. And she's just kind of like licking it and like eating it slowly alive. And it like, obviously somebody's filming this, you know? And it made me kind of think about this thing that's always bugged me. People go, oh, well, you know, because naturally in your mind, you're thinking like, I would like to see someone put that thing out of its misery. But there's always kind of this thing, it's like, oh, it's nature. That's just how nature is. You just have to let nature take its course. And it's like, yeah, but human beings are nature too. Like, I'm nature too. And so, you know, if a beaver decides to do something, that's natural. No matter what a beaver does, it's natural. Well, guess what? No matter what a human does, it's natural. You are not separate from nature. We're not separate from nature. So if I decide as a human being of this earth, of this nature, that I want to put an animal out of its misery, that's natural. Am I wrong? I feel like there's a lot of people that don't see things that way, but how so? It's natural. Now, I don't know how in this situation somebody would have been able to put that baby pig out of its misery, but something about just like filming it and being like, oh man, that's fucking brutal. Oh dude, that's gross. Oh, I don't know. I don't like it. Something about just like filming something grotesque and just narrating it as opposed to like, maybe, I don't know, see if you can like spook the lion for a second to get it to like kind of like whatever away and then shoot it. I don't know. I'm assuming you have a fucking gun, right? You're on a safari. I don't know. Look, that instance is different, but there's so many situations where I feel like people just like let shit happen, and they more so they don't consider themselves part of nature. A long time ago when Dom and Alex are, I think this, we discussed this on episode 300 of the podcast. I was talking about jogging through Loch Raven and how this deer came out in the middle of the trail while I was jogging and kind of like held firm while his family crossed and like stomped down and like let me know like, this is my home, like you're just visiting. And I was kind of thinking like, okay, sure. But also like, this is my home too, dude. Like, I'm also an animal. I'm tired of like animals having the balls to be like, oh yeah, dude. No, this is my place. You're just visiting. I'm pretty sure I'm from here too. I'm pretty sure just because my species was smart enough to build more shit doesn't mean that I'm no longer allowed in the woods, asshole. What, because you're too stupid to figure out how to make a trail? I'm not allowed to run on one? Get the hell out of the road, deer. Seriously. I'm an animal too, okay? Depending on how you look at the creation of the human race, if you believe that God literally, I was going to say, look, human beings didn't just get created as better than everything. And I was like, oh, wait, that's like literally the story of creation. But, okay, so fine, whatever. If that's the case, I rescind my statement. If God literally created Adam and Eve, then I am wrong. But if that's not the case, and God instead just created the universe and animals evolved over time and my species of Homo sapiens evolved from, lesser apes or whatever in common ancestors, like, then we fought, my species battled and competed just like your species, deer, for hundreds of millions of years of human evolution. From burrowing mammals underground to opposable thumbs to losing our tail to losing our fur. And finally we made it here. All that work to become the smartest, most industrious animal on the planet. And then I gotta take, second chair to some deer? No. This is my world too, dude. In fact, the only reason you exist is because my species decides to keep you alive. How about a thank you? You never get a thank you from deer, ever. Most overpopulated fucking animal in America. Nothing? Whatever. You are nature. You are nature, and don't forget that. This is a, I guess, kind of controversial video. I'm not sure. Everything is pitched as controversial on Twitter. But this is a teacher that apparently got suspended as a result of somebody recording this. And it's her like yelling and disciplining one of her students after supposedly he like was hitting a girl or something. I'm not sure. But let's watch the video, see what you think. Maybe I'm tripping. I don't see anything wrong with any of that. Absolutely not. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this pattern that I've been noticing lately, where it's like becoming increasingly like just not even, there's not even a second thought that goes in to people hitting women. And it obviously must start at a young age. Like, well, okay, let's just take a detour. We're going to come back to this teacher clip, but I ran across this video today as well. And it's just like unbelievable.
Oh, shit. What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck?
You know what pisses me off most about that? He apparently punched her friend in the face. Then she came up to confront him, and then he punched her in the face, like a full-fledged grown man punch to the face. And you see this like way too often, dude. The amount of videos you see on Twitter of dudes just absolutely rocking women in the face—it's honestly unbelievable. I don't know if you would see this back in the day. The thing that pisses me off most about this video, is how many dudes are in that video that just aren't doing anything. Why is that dude still walking? You just, so So that's the second woman he's punched in the face in a matter of minutes. And this dude's still drunk or whatever, and all whoever's filming is laughing, and every dude in every freaking every other guy in the thing is just like, oh, okay, back up, man. That's not a moment for, all right, just take it easy. That's what you do when a grown man punches another grown man in the face. All right, take it easy. When a grown man punches a woman in the face, that's not a, okay, back it off, cool. No. That's, you fucking get your ass beat. There's eight other dudes there. How the fuck is that dude, again, still walking? This is a problem with society. Here's another video. Now, this one's a little different because she slaps him first, but just like...
No way!
That one's a little bit different because she slaps him first, but still, I'm sorry. I don't see... I see that as inexcusable. I see that as absolutely inexcusable. To unload on a woman to that level, she comes at you with a slap that probably didn't even hurt you. And then your response as a grown man is to 100% of your strength falcon punch her in the face. I'm sorry, if you're not man enough to handle that situation by any other means other than full-fledged punching her in the face, if you're not man enough to, I don't know, subdue her, grab her, you know, keep her from being able to hit you again, something like that. Like, obviously, you want to do something, especially if she keeps it coming. I feel like if a woman slaps you once, it's kind of like, all right, come on. If a woman is continuing to attack you, then the next move is you subdue her, right? Do you get in a regular fight with her? I'm sorry. I mean, I must be... Maybe it's just a bygone thing in society, but to me, it's just literally unfathomable. It's almost kind of a bitch move because it's kind of saying, like, I have to go 100% against a woman. If anything, hopefully, if you're a grown man, you don't need to go 100% in order to get out of an altercation with a woman. Hopefully, you're bigger and stronger enough of a man to just, you know, take care of the situation without resorting to that. But apparently that's not a thought. The thing is, the thing that's kind of so disturbing about both of these videos is the absolute not non-hesitancy whatsoever. It's not even a consideration. They literally don't even see it as any different than anything else. It's not even a thought, and it's disturbing. But anyway, so you see that in older age, and then going back to this teacher video, which I'll play again for you, since it's been a while.
Yo, if that was me, I swear to God.
If that was me, I swear to God.
Do you hear me? Over here, running around.
Okay, so we could just watch that again. Okay, so in the beginning of the video, she grabs him by the shoulders, she pushes him in the chair. I think that's fine. There is obviously a difference between beating a kid or physically, I don't know what the word would be. Sometimes you have no other choice. And the problem is, this kid, who apparently is like picking a fight with a girl trying to fight her, clearly, whoever is in this kid's life that is supposed to be occupying the position of authority that shows him that that's not right, clearly they have not done their job. And so I am happy that there is someone in his life that is going to show him that. It might not stick, it might not take, but at least there's someone that's going to show this kid how to be a human fucking being. Somebody in the comments is like, I agreed with everything, but the asking if his mom hits his or asking if his dad hits his mom was too far. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Sometimes you need to look, if you're gonna take away physical discipline, not just in schools, but in the household, people are avidly against even physically disciplining your children, your own children, not your school children, your own children. So you can't do that, which means obviously you can't do it in schools. Teachers can't rap you on the knuckles with a ruler anymore or whatever. But also you can't shame them anymore either. You need some form of negative repercussions for your actions. And we're removing all of it. Lunch detention isn't enough. Oh no, I got to sit in a room for one day during lunch. That's what's going to be the difference maker in showing kids how to act right. That's what it's going to be. That's the punishment. That's your big punishment. Suspension. Oh no, this place that I already hate being is telling me I'm not allowed to come here for a week. Nice punishment, dude. No, you need shame. You need to get embarrassed. It's how you learn. Negative reinforcement, I can't stress it enough. Negative reinforcement is sometimes necessary. You do something wrong, you do something bad, and then someone makes you feel really bad about it, and that makes you want to avoid that feeling again so you don't do it again. You recognize, okay, there are consequences to my actions. And so this kid wasn't physically attacked in this situation. He was embarrassed. And then he tries to play it. What the fuck? Even that, even the thought to talk to an adult that way. I'm sorry. People want to look at this video. And I think most people actually watch this video and think it's fine. Honestly, I think I'm talking to a small minority of people who think that this is over the line and this woman should be fired or whatever. She was suspended, I think I mentioned. But that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with kids who have no one in their life, obviously, if they're acting like this. They have no one in their life showing them that this is not acceptable. And so you kind of have two choices. You can either say, all right, well, I guess that sucks for them, but we're not going to allow anyone else in their school or their coaches or anything to actually play that role if their parents aren't going to play that role. And so they're just going to have to go through their childhood, never learning consequences for anything, never learning how to conduct themselves like a civilized human being. And then when they're 15 years older, you'll see a video of them punching some chick in the face outside of a bar because they were never shown that that's not how you conduct yourself when they were 11 in class in a much more harmless situation. So those are your choices. And then you combine that with the absolute fucking cucked society around him that just watches that happen twice and nobody does shit. Nobody does shit. People need to get their asses beat again. Bring back getting your ass beat. Adult, kid, I don't care. It needs to happen. Getting your ass beat is a part of life. You know why? Because that's a consequence, that's a potentiality of life, is getting your ass beat. When you never... And look, I'm not looking forward to hitting my kids. But I definitely feel like I probably will at some point. Not hard. Hard enough. I'm not going to full scale, you know, that guy to my kid. But hard enough to send the message. You know why? I'm not going to sit here and try to sell you on beating your kids here. But I will tell you what I know to be a fact. Here's what I know to be a fact. In the real world, if you come incorrect or act out of line to the wrong person, you will get punched in the face or knocked out or worse. That's a real life consequence. Now, that can happen to you even if you're not out of line. That can just happen if that other person is out of line. But particularly if you are acting out of line, if you are being disrespectful, if you're being aggressive, if you're instigating, that is a real life consequence that physical repercussions exist as a consequence of your actions in certain situations, just in life. And so if that is the reality of the world outside of this home, why would I not make it a reality of the world inside of my home? Not saying that every little thing is going to lead to, you know, a spanking or whatever. But hey, guess what, future kid? When you're an adult and you move out, you might act incorrect some to the wrong person and get your ass beat. So instead of you doing that 20 years from now and getting your ass beat by someone who doesn't give two fucks about you, I'm going to teach you this lesson in the safety of our own home that you can get your ass beat by someone who does care about you and love you, who loves you enough to hit you. I love you enough to beat you, son. I'd rather you learn this lesson from me than someone else. And I mean that. I know I sound like I'm joking. I'm not joking. I don't know if you want a minority report me, send me to jail for future child abuse, but go right ahead. My son's going to fucking learn. I imagine I'll be easier on my daughter, but we'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But my son, he will fucking learn. And you know what? You know what else about my son? I can tell you for a fact, you'll never see him in this fucking video. You'll never see him doing this kind of shit. This kid could have used about 7 more shoulder grabs shoving into chairs. We'd be doing society a favor. Let's see what we got next. I wonder what you think about this. So this is at Ole Miss, Mississippi University. A white Ole Miss frat boy dances like a monkey and makes monkey noises near a black woman who is protesting for Palestine. Is this heartwarming? Is the question. Clearly, it's actually the point in question is actually the beginning of the video, so I actually missed it like the first two times. If you look, it's like right there. There's the guy. And Alex Jones retweeted this, and he says, how do I get this to be full screen? There we go. He says, odds are 90% in my mind that this guy works for the ADL or SPLC. This needs to be investigated. There is a 100% chance that the deep state is trying to trigger a race war ahead of the election in the next 185 days. America needs to come together. When I see videos like that normally, I think, God damn it. Because I at least have the the intellectual honesty to admit when people who are on my side, and like, okay, when I say my side, I'm saying like, okay, I'm seeing guys with like American flag outfits and like clearly telling the Free Palestine people to shut the fuck up, which I am totally for. Not because I don't like Palestine or don't like Israel or whatever, just because I think these protests are bullshit, as I've discussed. And I think they're phony as well, funded, organized. So yeah, I see a bunch of frat college kids and I'm like, yeah, I'd probably party with you sooner than I'd party with the COVID mask kafaya crew over there, you know? So these guys, for all intents and purposes, are on my side. Now notice, when I say on my side, you don't see me in that crowd. I'm not doing this shit, all right? But then you see one guy doing that thing and it's like, ah, dude, like, do you not know that this is... It just like, okay, so now you're gonna hop up and down and make monkey noises at a black woman. It's like, okay, so now just this one guy has completely invalidated the entire group. And it's just like, dude, really? How do you not know that? How do you not know? Like, this entire interaction, minus that 2 second a clip of you in the very, very side of the video doing that, and it's a perfectly cool interaction that I 100% agree with. And so you have to wonder, like, I mean, look, Alex Jones says the odds are 90% that this guy works for the ADL or SPLC. What's, I'm going to look, just for once and for all, what does the ADL stand for? Is that Anti-Defamation League? Yeah, Anti-Defamation League. I don't know what the hell that means, though. But SPLC stands for, let's see, Southern Poverty Law Center. That's the one I definitely don't get. What the hell does that mean? The Southern Poverty Law Center is an American 501 nonprofit legal advocacy group organization specializing in civil rights and public interest litigation. Okay, so it's a group. Why are they called that? I don't know. Whatever. Does this guy work for them? Okay, and that's the other thing. Alex Jones isn't even saying that this guy works for the CIA or the FBI. Because that's like way less believable. Not that it's not believable. We've talked ad nauseum at the presence of feds in January 6th or whatever. But something like this, I'm like, is the FBI really sending plants to this like stupid frat party? You're like at a kegger and there's like a fed next to you. There's a CIA agent playing beer pong. Is that really what's going on? We need to infiltrate. I don't think we need to infiltrate Ole Miss to make them appear racist. I think Mississippi's good. Mississippi, if there's any state that is totally capable of some good old-fashioned organic racism, it's Mississippi. But that being said, in this video, I don't know. I don't know. It's weird because I don't generally see this type of race. Like, obviously, when you think of that, it's like the monkey thing is like the big no-no. You can't do that. You know, that's like, oh, you know. Whatever. Maybe it's because I'm from Maryland. You'll see that kind of talk on Twitter and shit, but you really don't see that almost ever in real life. Like, and I'm a white guy, and I would probably say most of my friends are white for sure. Not all, but most. And I am in social situations that include tons of white people a lot at bars in Fells Point. I can't think of a single time when I've seen this type of like blatant racism in real life. Again, you see it on Twitter all the time, but that's because you're behind a keyboard on the internet anonymously. But in real life, are people really just walking down the street? White people just like, fucking, like, really? When have you seen that? You know, like the fucking, like, when they found like a noose at that mechanic shop or something and the black mechanic sued them or whatever. I think that wound up being a hoax. Or like, just like a rope that was used to pull down the garage that they turned into a story. But regardless, like, usually those type of things, like the Jussie Smollett thing, the noose thing, all these kind of like stories like that, these like accounts of this overt, blatant, horrific racism, they usually wind up being overblown or completely fabricated. Because I genuinely don't ever see that ever in my daily life. And I understand that I'm just one person with one lived experience, but like, you would think if there was something that was as prevalent as the media and politics would have you believe it is, and that is, of course, this systemic, dirty, racist culture in America, you'd think if it was that pervasive, that me being just a regular guy who goes out in public quite a bit. I go out in public more than the average person. I play in bars for a living, okay? I don't go to an office and see the same four people every day and sit in a cubicle or work from home, work remote, and sit in my fucking living room all day, you know, moving a mouse every 30 minutes to stay logged in. Like, I'm out and about, going to different bars, traveling to all kinds, you know, Baltimore City, Baltimore County, Carroll County, Western Maryland, Southern Maryland, DC area, you know, all around. You know, Baltimore City is a hell of a lot different than, you know, Frederick County. Totally different cultures. Totally different types of people. And regardless of where I am, I never see this level. I've heard, you know, some people say some stuff under their breath. Yeah, well, here we go. You get that all the time. Sometimes it's me. Sometimes I hear, I'm like, oh, wait, that was me. But like, overt if it was that common, let me put it this way, if this kind of shit was that common, people wouldn't be making a big deal about it when it happens. Like, okay, let's think of a thing that's common, something that's common. What happens all the time? Let's see. Something in society that happens all the time. How am I blanking here? I can't think of a single thing that happens all the time. Okay, here's a good example. Let's think about sports for a second. For those of you who have ever watched a soccer game, soccer is an incredibly low-scoring sport. I think the average score for a game is something like 2-1. Maybe that's even high. I'm going to actually look this up. What is the average score of a soccer game? The average score soccer. Okay. So, the average amount of goals scored in a soccer game is like two goals. You watch a soccer game for 90 minutes of nonstop play. Actually, more than 90 minutes, because they just arbitrarily add random amounts of time at the end. And then even after that time is up, they keep it going. Even it just makes no sense. But anyway, yeah, you watch a game for 90 plus minutes of nonstop action, and you see, on average, about two scores. So like one per half. And what you notice when you do see a goal in soccer, because it's so rare, everyone loses their fucking minds. The stadium goes nuts. The players are sliding all around the field, taking their shirts off. And it'll be like 30 minutes in the first half. And you got a guy taking his pants off at center field because they fucking scored a goal. The whole point of the game. And they scored one of them before halftime. And, you know, he's kissing babies on the sideline. It's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. Because why? Because it's so rare. So because it's so rare, it's a big deal when you see it. Now let's look at basketball. Basketball, they basically score like every other time they try to. Probably even more than that. Basketball, you might see, you know, 10 points in a minute. So when somebody makes a two-point layup, do you see the LeBron James take his shirt off and throw it into the crowd, run around, slide all over the floor? Could you imagine how long a basketball game would be if they pulled off that massive of a celebration every time they scored a basket? It would never end. And basketball in the NBA is already too long, in my opinion. I like the college 40-minute, two 20-minute halves. I think that I don't know. That extra 8 minutes, I really feel that extra 8 minutes in the NBA. But the point being, no, they don't make a big deal about it because it happens all the time. So somebody scores, we recognize that scoring in basketball is like the easiest sport to score. And so we don't care. Moving on, next basket. So I guess my point is, if it were true that this type of racist culture exists in our country to this level that it's everywhere around us. It is just seeped and marinated into our everyday life. Then why is it such a viral event every time something like this happens? Because there are people online that would have you believe that there's just white guys running around all day, every day, making monkey noises at black people for no reason. Okay, well, if that's the case, then why is this video the most popular video on the internet at the moment? Or one of them. It's trending. You can't have it both ways. So, I went down that little tangent to make the point that I don't, even in Mississippi, I'm not necessarily convinced that this is like run-of-the-mill standard activities for college kids. I guarantee you they talk like that in their group chats, personally, between friends, when they're all in the living room watching TV, watching Monday Night Football. And I know that because that's how I talk with my friends. Okay? Who gives a fuck? But in public, in front of hundreds of people, that's what you're doing? You're that confident that that everyone in that crowd is going to support you doing that? I am not convinced now that I'm thinking about it. I've never really seen it. And again, that's not evidence that it doesn't happen. But like I said, if it was something that was that common, you would have to think that I would have at least come across it a handful of times. And I'm not saying I've never seen anything racist happen in my life. I am saying that I've seen racist shit happen from all different groups, directed all different groups. It's not like all the racism I've seen in my life has been white on black racism. In fact, if I had to guess, I'd probably say that was the least amount of racism I've seen in my life. Like in terms of like public, unabashed racism against another person. The overt, remember the Titans Disney 1950s movie version of life where, hey boy, what you doing around here? Get off the field. I'm not sure I've seen that very often, if at all. Subtle, more subtle things, sure. But in terms of overt, like, fuck you, white boy. Oh, my God. So, like, whatever. I'm not saying racism doesn't exist. All I'm trying to say is, I am receptive to the idea that this guy may work for the SPLC or the ADL or one of those groups that have a vested interest in painting these type of movements, these like pro-America, fuck your stupid gay protest movements, and making those people out to be horrible racist Nazis as opposed to just patriotic college kids who are fed up with all the bullshit. And first of all, let me just also say this. Regardless of whether or not that one individual kid is just acting like an idiot, or if he is doing that on purpose because he's, you know, motivated by some other group to do so, regardless of that, it doesn't actually change the fact, which is that, yeah, what I just described, a group of patriotic young college kids that are fed up with the bullshit, that is what that group is for the most part. The more vocal ones are going to be whatever. But the fact that that one kid was jumping around like an idiot doesn't change that fact for everyone else. You know, just like I said about the Palestine protests, the majority of those kids are just kids who want to be a part of something, who want to have a cause to fight for. And, you know, they were the same kids that were doing this shit back in the original first viral outrage was Kony 2012. If you guys remember 2012, and I actually was reminded of this yet again. I always say that that was like the first like trial run of seeing how people could get pissed off about something they had no idea about 1 minute ago and then start an entire movement over it. But that was, yeah, Kony 2012 came out obviously in 2012. And I was like college. I think I was in college like 1 year out. Because I only spent 1 year. So I was like sophomore year of college age. And this video comes out and it was like viral. It was like number one thing on Reddit and everybody's watching. Just talking about this African warlord or whatever and all his heinous shit he did. Turned out like all the information was like from like 4 years ago or something. Like it wasn't even, the situation they were describing like wasn't even currently a thing anymore. But it didn't matter. Because everybody watched it and all of a sudden everybody's putting Kony 2012 in their Facebook statuses. And, you know, this is back when Facebook was the primary social media for college kids and high school kids, doing all that shit. And I think it really was like the first time that we saw the internet become like that type of thing. There weren't like these massive viral meme social justice campaigns before that. And I think once people saw the effectiveness of how easily people could be manipulated to care about shit that does not concern them at all, and also care about shit that isn't even true. Like, nobody actually bothered looking into, like, the reality. I'm not saying that Comey wasn't a thing, but, like, just, like, everything about it kind of made me feel like it was almost an experiment of some sort to test the waters of how to engage social justice campaigns and engage viral outrage from people to spur movements. Because like even the fact that it was an African warlord, I can't think of a single region of the world where a maniacal warlord commits heinous atrocities. I can't think of a more frequent place to see that than Africa. So like James Kony is one of like 700 horrible warlords in that region doing horrible shit. And yet because you saw one video about one guy, you decided to focus all your energy on how bad that is. And yeah, that combined with the fact that a lot of the information was outdated, combined with the fact that nobody had cared at all about any of it 1 minute ago, it all seemed very conveniently to kind of like put all the pieces in play to be like, okay, so we're running this kind of trial run to see how people react to this type of shit. And what we're finding is the information doesn't have to be true. It doesn't even necessarily need to be out of the ordinary. But as long as we pitch it as if it's out of the ordinary, people will treat it as out of the ordinary. I noticed this, you know, when people would describe COVID and how COVID works. like, oh yeah, so basically, like, if you're in a room with somebody who's infected for like a certain amount of time, it spreads through droplets. Remember I was saying that? It spreads through droplets. And then, yeah, it like basically gets into your like nasal cavity and like that, and it multiplies. And that's how it infects you. It's like, dude, you just described a virus. Like, did everyone just learn what a virus was this year? But because this particular virus, and I understand there were some differences, some artificially purposeful differences, I believe. But I think a lot of it comes from the purposeful lack of general knowledge of the world around you is easily manipulable, right? Like, if people had a thorough understanding of how viruses work before COVID was a thing, then nobody would have heard how COVID works and been shocked or scared by the sound of, oh my God, it multiplies in your nasal path. That's how every respiratory virus works, dude. Pretty much. How else do you think it works? But by keeping people ignorant and stupid, you can tell them something and it'll be the first time they heard about it. And you can make it seem like a bigger deal than it is. So likewise, if people were more worldly and understood what was going on in other continents like Africa and understanding how horrific a lot of that area is when it comes to like human rights violations and things like that, nobody would have been beside themselves when they heard about James Comey. But because we are kept in a state of ignorance, then they can pretty much throw anything across our desk and we're like, what? No way. Somebody's got to change that. It's like, yeah, you're right. Somebody should change that. But yeah. All right. Cool. Not bad for a Friday. We talked about some things. Talked about beating our kids. So yeah, guys, thanks for being here for yet another week of installments of Live from the Studio Daily. I'm your host, Jimmy Selesky. LFTS podcast across the board. Please hit the subscribe button. We'll be back on Monday with more shit. Greek Easter this weekend, so I don't foresee a podcast coming out this weekend, but hopefully we'll line something up during next week and record one for next weekend. So I'll check back in with you on Monday. A no longer vegan man, Christos Anesti, Alithos Anesti. Till next time, peace.